before Jesus died, before he, on that very, very night, on the Thursday night, just before his crucifixion on Friday, the Bible says that he had sent ahead. He told his disciples to go ahead of him because there was somewhere they would do dinner. And the Bible says that his disciples went ahead. He says to them, when you get to the new city that you're walking into, you will see a man that is carrying a jar of water. He says, follow this man, and he will send you to where we need to meet. So anyway, they go ahead, meet in this place. The Bible says that he sat down with him, shared a meal with them. And then when the time came for the breaking of bread, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, suddenly turns and tells them, this bread that you're eating, this, after he shares his story, he says, you know, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be killed. Now that is information that not many people like hearing, but he tells them, this is going to be our last dinner here. And he's, the Bible says that he uses the bread. I'm waiting for my bread. So the scriptures say that he took the bread, he broke it, and gave it to them, and he said, this is my body that has been offered for you. He broke the bread, and he says, this is my body that has been broken for you. Today, as we partake of this communion, as we partake of the work that Jesus did, as we take of this bread, Jesus says, this bread signifies my body that has been broken for you. Now, if you read the book of Isaiah, the Bible says that his body was broken, literally. He was striped for our healing, Isaiah chapter number 53. That he was beat up so that we could physically be healthy, so that we could physically be healed. So as you are partaking of the communion this morning, as you take on that bread, maybe you are here and you're feeling an unwellness in your spirit or in your body physically or in your mind mentally, that this is the time to say, Lord, this bread signifying the work that you did at the Calvary, that the body that was broken for me. And breaking, as Isaiah describes it, was that striping, was that beating up, was that pounding on him, that we may be healed. So as you take on that, I want you to think about that and just ask the Lord, Lord, as I commemorate. Now remember, Jesus said, do this in memory of me. Which means every day that we take on this bread, that we remember the work that he did. We remember the reason that the body of Jesus was broken. And I love this because Jesus knows that there is no way we will avoid food. Praise the Lord. He says he knew that somehow, somewhat, in some way or form or sort, we would be breaking bread together. And he thinks, if there is a way that men will not forget about me, if there is a way that men will always want to remember about me, he says, you know, I'm going to put on their plate something that is so common that they will never forget. He says, let us use food as a metaphor. So that way they'll never forget. He says, every time you break bread together, remember me. So I want us to remember Jesus and remember the work that he did as he broke that body, as his body was broken on the cross at Calvary, that we may be healed, that we may walk in divine healing. Another thing that he paid for is our sin. As he was being killed on the Calvary, Jesus Christ was dying on the cross that our sin might be taken care of, our iniquities and transgressions, all these were taken care of. So as you partake of the communion this morning, I want you to remember the significance of the communion. Jesus used bread because that's what he had in his hand. He could have used anything else, but man, bread, we remember bread, we break bread all the time. May we remember the work that he has done. May we remember the work that he has done at the Calvary and the effect of the same in our physical bodies today. So if you're here, you're not feeling well, as you partake of this, I want you to declare this in your spirit. Lord, as I remember the work you did, I remember that it was so that this area of my body, this area of my head, this area of my back, this area of my chest, maybe it is my tummy, maybe it's my feet, that he did that so he can take care of that in Jesus' name. So I want you to break the bread and just partake of the bread. The Bible says that in the same way, he took the wine and he says, this one is a representation of the blood that I will shed for you. His blood is what cleanses us. His blood is what makes us whole again. His blood is what makes us pure again. His blood is what invites us in the beloved. His blood is what allows us to sit at the feet of the cross, confident of our salvation. It is his blood that makes us whole, that makes us righteous and holy again. So as you partake of that, I want you to think, if you have issues in your life, if you have issues that you're still struggling with, if you're still struggling in an area, I want you to remember that this blood was shed because of that. You see, sin has got no sting no more. Death has got no sting. It has nothing on you because of the blood that was shed at the Calvary. So as you partake of this juice this morning, representing the blood of Jesus Christ, I want you to remember that. And I want you to confess that in your spirit too. In the name of Jesus, you may partake of the blood. Lord Jesus Christ, as we stand before you this morning, we worship you because of your faithfulness. Your faithfulness in the work that you accomplished at the Calvary. That indeed, as Romans chapter number 10 verse 25 says, that there is no other blood that is required. That there is no, rather verse 18, it says there is no other blood that is required. The work was done. So Father God Almighty, as we think on and we remember that you shed the blood for us, we pray that Lord Jesus Christ, you minister salvation, forgiveness in our spirits, in our bodies, in our minds, in the name of Jesus. We love you, Father, and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say amen. May I have the kids down here? I know we are few. I almost wish I couldn't send the kids so we would look like we are many. Amen. But we are many in the spirit. Amen. So y'all can stand here so I can pray for you guys. Over here. Over here. I'd love to pray for you guys. Guys, over here. Over here. Over here. Over here. There you go. Perfect. If the parents could just stretch your hands. Now this is the very, very first service of this year. And I know that God, looking down here, he sees these children in leadership positions in this country and in the churches around this world. So as a parent, every one of us want our children to be successful. And as you raise your hand, I want you to say a prayer. I want you to say what you want the Lord to do for these children. Maybe you're asking the Lord to just protect them. Maybe you're asking the Lord to just raise them in wisdom. You're asking the Lord to raise them so that they can respect people, they can respect authority, they can respect the law of the land. I want you to just stretch that hand and speak that into your child. See, the Bible says that there is life in the tongue. The power of life and death lays in your tongue. So as a parent, as you say those things over your child, you say, my child shall grow to be intelligent in school, and she shall go to college. She will become a person. She will become a leader in this community. As you speak those things over your child, the Lord is going to do that, to honor those words. So as a parent, I want you to just pray over these children, even as I pray. Father, I love you this morning. Lord, to ensure continuity, you allowed us to have children, to ensure that this is not the end, my Father God Almighty, that our generation does not end. You allowed us to parent, my Father. And so, Father, we give you praise. We honor and acknowledge you. We celebrate you for these children. Father, these are the leaders that you're raising in our midst. We are aware, or we are smart enough to know, that there is nowhere we can hide our children, that the world might not rear its ugly hand. And that is why we know of only one place that we can hide them, that they will be safe. And that is in you, Father. That we watch the news and we look around and we know that only you can redeem these young ones. Only you can set them apart. Only you can separate them for your glory. So we commit them into your hands. We ask that you speak to them this morning. Even as they go to their church, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just do the work out there to the glory and honor of your name. We love you for their youngness, my Father. And as they grow, we pray that you raise them. Give us wisdom to raise them, Father. Give us wisdom to speak truth in them in love. Give us wisdom to discipline them and to grow them according to how you would, because you are our Father. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. You guys go have fun in your church. Amen. Amen. Jax, go to school. Bye, love you. I want us to go into the Word of God. Again, I encourage you to view with me in the eye of the Spirit as we have to find another building towards the end of this year, because this place will be too small for us. Amen. I want you to view in the eye of the Spirit and say to your neighbor, neighbor, move. Even if there's nobody seated there, just say, neighbor, move. Because there are many people coming. Say, because there are many people coming. I want you to say it like you believe it. Amen. Say it like you believe it. This is our very, very first service. And I believe that as we confess things into the air, we confess that this city belongs to Jesus, that Cheyenne belongs to this to Jesus. There's this beautiful song I sing every once in a while. It goes, He's the Lord of this city. You're the Lord of these people. You are greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. Don't be discouraged when you show up and there is no people. Amen. Because they are coming in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to go into the Word of God. The title of the message today is The Best Life. The Best Life. Now, I believe in my spirit that today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Amen. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Now, your best life, the second statement that I believe with all my heart, is that your best life is the life that is coming. Praise Jesus. Number three thing that I believe is that you can make the rest of your days the best of your days. Okay? So, the rest of your life is better than what's gone, number one. But then the best days of your life is the rest of your life. And today can be the first day of those lives. If you want to come with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 39, so we find out why today could be that day. Psalms chapter number 39. This is kind of a morbid scripture. Amen. But I'm going to read it anyways. Because that's what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. Psalms chapter number 39, I'll read verse number 5, which is up here. The Bible says, verse number 5, Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man is at his best state. Any man at his best state is altogether vanity. And then it says Selah. Selah means stop and think about it. And that is what we are going to do this morning, to stop and think about it. He says, Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state, every man as at his best state, at their very best, is vanity. Vanity is hopeless, useless, all the words that you can choose. He says, before our Father in heaven, every one of us, when we are at our very best, we are vanity before Him. We are vapor. We are nothing before Him. Now, He says, then the next verses, He says, help me to gain wisdom that I can number my days. Help me to gain wisdom that I can number my days. Which means that King David, writing these Psalms, comes to a place where he realizes, man, this is not permanent. And it doesn't matter what I put in, it is still going to end. This kind of sounds contrary to what we where we started. Amen. We said we are going to make our best out today, the very, very, the beginning of the best days of our lives. But you see, until you discover that you're not going to be here forever, that you are not, you do not have a tomorrow that is promised, until you come face to face with the reality that we are but pilgrims in this world, that we are just passing by, that we are not here to stay, until we come to that place, we will not start living. Praise the Lord. Because we can continuously exist until the day you realize, man, I could die anytime. And then you start being deliberate. You start being intentional about each and every day of your life. And that is why today I want us to realize that there is a morbidity to life. That there is a mortality that we have, that we bear within us. And that tomorrow, that standing before our Father, at our very best, we are a vapor. We are nothing. And that we can begin saying, I want to live my life in a deposit kind of a way that if I were to live tomorrow, it will be of value. Praise Jesus. So as the year begins, as this is the first service or the first week of, let us read together something that the Bible writes that seems to be very, very obvious. You know, you're like, why did they write that? We all know that. We want to go to the book of Exodus. Exodus. This is at the very, very beginning of the Bible. So Genesis and then Exodus. It's the very second book in the Bible. Chapter number 12, it will say 12 on top of your Bible. I want us to read verse number 2. Exodus chapter number 12, I want us to read verse number 2. The Bible says, this month shall be unto you, this month. If you don't have a Bible, it will all be posted up here. The ones that I want, I'll try to take time so you can read. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. This is a no-brainer. We know this is that, right? Right? Everybody knows this is the first month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. We all smiled when I said this is a no-brainer because we know we are in January. Praise the Lord. This, of course, January is the beginning of the year. It's the first month of the year. But you do realize that this is scripture, which means that at any given time in life, God can allow you to read this. Don't miss it. He says, this month shall be the first one to you. Don't miss that very, very small thing at the end, because he said, customizes it to you individually. He says it doesn't matter where you are, this can be the beginning for you. This can be the first month of the years for you. This can be the first day of the years to you. This can be the first season for your greatness that you can choose to say, I'm starting now. Praise the Lord. That you see, with God, there is no tomorrow. I have said to us over and over that tomorrow is not guaranteed, which means today is the day. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 124, it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because God is not looking at tomorrow. God is looking at you today as the beginning of the month, as the beginning of the first month of your years. Which means that it is a choice that you get to make. We just happen to be saying this in January. Praise the Lord. We just happen to be saying this at our first service, that this is your month, that this is where it begins. This is where the fun begins. This is when we get on the ride, because you see, there is a greatness that awaits us. There is better things that await us, that our future is guaranteed, not because of who we are. Remember, we are vanity. But because of who He is, we can always come back to the understanding that He has got everything accounted for. You can start your day today. You can start your walk today. You can start your victories this day, because this shall be your first month to you. So it doesn't matter where you are. God is speaking about the beginning, and the beginning can be any time, any season. He says this for you personally, the person that is reading, this can be that day when you start. Because the second thing that He tells the children of Israel, He says, now go therefore. You know, this is the first day for you. Go therefore and find a lamp for me. He says, go therefore and start serving. Go therefore and start worshiping. Go therefore and start being someone. This is the first day. This is the first month of your year, of the year to you as a person. God wants us to understand that as January strikes, it is not, you see, listen to me, children of God. God does not operate in time. Amen. Which means that He does not know January. Come on. When you show up before God and say, in January I did this, He's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because He is not operating in our seasons as it is. But then He has a habit of stepping into time. He has a habit of stepping. You see, He doesn't operate in time. He's outside of time. But He steps into time to effect things. He steps into time to start some things. There's a period in time where He comes and He's like, I want to effect this. Which means that the visitation, your day of visitation, is the moment that you come and encounter this scripture. He says, this is the beginning of the time. This is the beginning of the season. This is the beginning to you as a person, because that's the time when I'm stepping in. It doesn't matter when, where, how. It shall be in that moment. He says, help me to count. David says, help me to count the days. Because if I realize that I do not have as many, it means that I will put value to every single one of them that I live. That there is going to be a way that I will live differently, knowing that today would be my last. That, you know, if I'm singing, I will sing all my best, because I know that this could be that day when I go to meet my Father. He says, help me number them. Help me number them. Help me start understanding that there is an end to this. And if you can realize, if you come face to face with the end, then you start living. Because then you know value in what you already have. Praise the Lord. How I pray that in January, that in 2019, we are not thinking about, man, how great and awesome. We are thinking about, man, today is that day. Praise the Lord. Today is the day when I live differently. I will be impactful to my maximum, because this is that day. If it's ministering to people, if it's serving people, if it's reaching out to people, this is the day. There is no tomorrow. That is where it begins. What about my future? What about my future? I want us to read the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Now why? Why would we enjoy today, aware of morbidity, but then enjoy it Make it the best. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 15, the Bible says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, number one, we have not received a spirit of bondage. A spirit of bondage is a spirit of slavery, where you are made to do stuff, where you are showing up, but then you are not showing up willingly. He says, you have not received a spirit of fear, a spirit of bondage, a spirit of, you know, anxiety about tomorrow, anxiety about, man, this could be the end for me. It is more a spirit of adoption, where we can cry out to God and call him Abba. Abba is Father, which is a spirit of adoption. Listen, we were all alienated from God because of the original sin. We were all separated from God. And then God seeks to bring us back into his family through the process of adoption. He says, "I want you to adopt me. I want to adopt you into my family so you will be a member of my family." Let me tell you something. The first thing that happens when you're adopted into a family is they change your name. They change your name. You no longer exist by your previous name. You exist by the name of the person who has adopted you into their home, into their family. God has brought us in from outside in the cold, from homelessness, from hopelessness, from being lost, from confusion and sin and turmoil, and he's brought us into his home. He has brought us by the fireplace into the place of warmth. He's taken us away from the cold, has brought us in, and now he did not stop there. He has given us his name. That is why you're called Christian. We have been called by his name. We have been sons in his kingdom. The next thing, if you're adopted into the family, if the family is wealthy enough to leave you an inheritance or bills, they will leave you that. So if we are adopted into this family of God, if we are members and children that go by his name, it means that everything our Father has, everything that he has, is ours. Praise the Lord. So if you are adopted into a family, you know, at the end when they're reading the will, let's say the father that adopted you has died, they will not be like, "And child so-and-so was adopted, so we won't give them anything." It will be a child. It will be a son in that home. It's adoption. It is bringing these people that were not and making them belong. It is bringing these people that did not belong and making them, giving them a name, giving them a culture. And that's what the Bible is trying to illustrate. He says, if because of that adoption, because of that adoption, verse number 16, the Bible says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay? So your spirit agrees with the Spirit of God that you are sons. That is what we call salvation. There is this peace that when you give your life to Christ, you feel it. You know very well that, you know, you might not take away what you did last night, but there is this comfort that you feel when your spirit attests to the Spirit of God that you are a son, that you are a child. He says the Spirit agrees. It agrees. It bears witness. It says you are a child. Now verse number 17, he says, "But if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So, if so, be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." He says, if we are children, so remember we started our journey from this place of realizing, man, this could end. We are vanity. We are useless. We are hopeless. But then we've been adopted into the family, which means now we have value. We have got inheritance. into the beloved, into God himself. We have been adopted. We have a right. He says now, if we are children, if we are children of God, then we are heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. That is why you have to live your life today better than you lived it yesterday, because today you know who you are. Listen, if you discover today that you have been adopted into the first family, if you discover today that you're adopted into the first family, I promise you tomorrow, if you showed up in church, you would have people guarding you. If Trump adopted you today, tomorrow, by tomorrow, the Secret Service will be with you. Because you now have every right that the Father has. Now, if we have been adopted into the family of Christ, it means that everything that the Father, we are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that he has, if he has Secret Service, they are on our back. If he has got money, it is all we have. If he has got health, it is what we have. If he has got prosperity, that is what we have. If he has got our righteousness and our holiness and peace and beauty and healing and restoration, it's everything that the Father has. If it is his, then we own it. Jesus Christ walked in divine health. If we can come into him, we can walk in divine health, because we are heirs and therefore joint heirs with him. We can inherit everything that he has. Jesus Christ, after he resurrects, he says, all the powers in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Psalms chapter number 24, it says the heaven and the earth belong to the Father. So if you are a son and a joint heir with Christ, it is time now you start walking shoulder high, saying, I belong to the Father, I belong to my God, and if I ask of anything, in fact, Jesus says, ask that you may be given, that your joy may be full. So whatever it is that we know, because we are sons in the kingdom, wherever we ask, he can give it to us. Let me illustrate this. If you're showing up, if somebody showed up at your door, some neighbor's kid, and they asked you for, they have this list of stuff that's needed in school. You know, as a human, you'd be like, I'll pay. But then you're going to ask questions before you give the money, right? You're going to be like, where is your mom? You know, did your mom send you? Is she not able to afford this? Even if you might not ask the child, but you will just have those questions behind your mind. Maybe it's because they're not able to. But if your daughter or your son shows up with a list of things they want from school, do you know that you do not even think about it? You just pay. It is the natural thing to do. You just pay. Listen to me. If you are now adopted into the family of God, you ask for anything, there will be no questions answered. If you need anything, because you are a son, because you are now adopted, because you are no longer an outsider, you are an insider, you are of his name. Because of that, he will say, you know what, they need A, B, C, D, and I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to deal with it because it's what they need. The reason is because they are now sons. As an outsider, we could pray and ask for stuff. But then before he answers, he's like, let's talk about it. Didn't your father have money for this? But then the moment he adopts you into his beloved, you become his responsibility. You become God's responsibility because you bear his name. In fact, the Bible says that at some time, the nation of Israel would get God so angry. He would send people to destroy them. And then the Bible says that as the people came, he was like, you know what? These people bear my name. He says, for the sake of my name, I will spare them. He says, not because they are doing anything right, but because they bear my name, I will spare them from this mess. I want you to walk into this year. Make every day the best day of your life, because you are a joint heir with Christ, because he has paid for everything. Let's hear what he has to say about that future. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 29, verse 11, I believe this is the most quoted verse in the whole planet, on the whole planet. It says, for I know the plans. It's so quoted, I remember it by head. Amen. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah chapter number 29 verse 11. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. Now listen. The reason I love this verse is because there is a plan. You see, if God is like, you know what? Whatever happens, let it happen. I would be very worried. I would be very, very concerned. But he says, for I know the plans I have. For I know there is a plan in place. It is not just, you know what, day by day. It is not me waking up tomorrow, you know, just figuring it out. It is the moment that I know I am a son. Remember, we remember that we are useless before him at the place of morbidity. But then when we move further close and become adopted into the beloved, now we know that we are sons. And he says, for I know the plans that I have for you. I know there is a plan. My goodness, there is a plan. It's not just a day by day stuff. It is not, you know what, life, you see the problem with life, it's so daily. It's just so daily. But the encouragement is that it's not a mistake, that he has a plan. Number one, most importantly, there is a plan. Child of God, you cannot live as if you are an accident. You cannot live as if your life is dependent on fate. You know, I might just go and maybe I'll be hit by a car. Or I might just go and maybe I'll hit the lottery. He says, I have a plan for you. A plan to prosper you. A plan to give you hope and a future. It is a good plan that he has for you. Which means I can live this day better than I lived yesterday, because I know that I'm not just depending on chance. That I can live every day of 2019 knowing that it is the beginning of the day and I can start it fresh, and that it's not an accident, that there is a plan. Come on. And then there is not just a plan, it is a good plan. You see, last week we talked about, you know, what God is emphasizing, and by the grace of God, when you come back, you'll see posters everywhere. He says, step out by faith. So we are stepping out by faith because we know there is a plan. We are stepping out by faith and living every day extraordinarily because we know it is all planned out. It is all laid out. He says, for I know the plan. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to prosper you. You are a joint heir with Christ. Psalms chapter number 138, verse number 8. The Bible says, I will perfect everything that concerns you. Ah. Come on. That is why I can arise every morning and say, you know what? He is going to perfect every what concerns you. Come on. What is this that keeps you awake? He says, I'm going to make it perfect. I am going to arise and I'm going to perfect everything that is of concerning to you, that concerns your case. You are my son now. You are my joint heir with me. You are adopted in the beloved. You are not an outsider. I will do everything in my power. Listen, I can do anything for Caitlin and Liam. Because they are mine. Because they are mine. I can go out of my way to do anything and everything because they are mine. If today I chose to adopt a child, I will do everything and anything because they are. That is what our Father is saying. That is why you can arise every day and say, this is the greatest day of my life and I'm going to be the best version of me, because I know, number one, that this could be it. Number two, that I am adopted in the beloved, that I am a son and I am a joint heir with Christ, and that there is a plan, and the plan is a good plan, and that he's got it covered. You can arise and walk into tomorrow knowing that, you know what, everything that is of concern to me, God will take care of it. He says, if sons, if your spirit testifies with the spirit of God that you're a son, then all these things are your portion. In fact, in the book of John, 3 John, he says, my heart's desire is that you may prosper. Prosper in your health. Prosper in your physique. Prosper in who? He says, that's his desire. That's the heart of the Father. When earlier I asked us to pray for our children, I had in mind this thing. Man, you can imagine, as I was speaking just before you started praying over your child, especially when I said, I want you to pray that your child be safe. Every father, every mother in this room was like, that's my child. I want my child safe. When we said we want your children to become leaders and prosper in life, nobody here is like, man, I would like my child to go to jail one day. Maybe that would be cool. Or I would, and God forbid, I would like my child to be shot up one day and die in cold blood. Nobody thinks that. Everybody in their hearts, when it comes to their children, they want their best. They want the very best. They want the success of their children. They want the growth of their children. They want the best of their children. Jesus says, if we, as wicked as we are, when our children ask us for bread, we'd give them bread and not a rock. When they ask us for fish, we give them a fish and not a snake. How much more our Father, when we ask of Him? As wicked as we are, Jesus does this comparison. He says, as wicked as we are, when our children ask us for good stuff, we give it to them. How much more a righteous God? How much more a beautiful Father who has, the Bible says, the Lord is light, there is no darkness in Him. Which means, if God were to look your direction and nod, Miss Amy, if He were just to look your direction and say, man, your life will be extraordinary because of His beauty inside. How much more when you're asking Him for good things? How much more when you're just like, Father, I feel pain here in my chest. Please heal me. If your children were up here and you're raising your hand saying, I want them to prosper, I want them healthy, I want them, protect them from the flu this season, protect them. If that is you, and you have a wickedness within you, every one of us has a darkness within us. In fact, the Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. Which means there's a part in us that is just different. And we, when we look at our children, we are like, let the best, just the best happen to them. How much more our Father, who does not have the other side, when He looks down on us as adopted children, as children of His own, as a people who bear His name. Yesterday I came from work and my daughter introduced me to this little doll that she has. And then she went ahead to tell me the names that she had named the child. And then she finished with my last name. And I was like, uh-oh. Now we have another Wanyonyi in our house. You know, it is really holding me at ransom somehow. Because I have to take care of this doll. Because somehow, it's like, I looked at her, I was like, really? It has all our names? Because this doll bears our name. It becomes family. Because everywhere, when it's carried around, they say, this is so-and-so Anyonyi. What's the name of the doll? I don't remember the first name. But I know that it has my name. Lulu, yes, it's called Lulu. If I see Lulu Anyonyi in the house, on the couch, when I'm carrying it to put it down so I can sit, I do not kick it. Because it has our Anyonyi attached to it. You have the name of God attached to you. It doesn't matter that you are a doll. It doesn't matter that you are the mess that you think you are. It doesn't matter whether that you are messed up, that you cannot put, you don't know 2 + 2. It doesn't matter. As long as you were carried and you're called by His name, He's going to go out of His way to protect, to take care of you, because you go by His name. God has called us His children. The Bible says, if children, then heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Jesus Christ has inherited a lot from His Father. He has inherited, most importantly, love. He has inherited love. So as the year begins, because you're called by this name, you're going to have to show love. When my daughter was going to kindergarten, the first thing I told her was, she asked me, so what is it going to be like, Daddy? And I said, I want you to just be one person. And she said, who? And I said, I want you to be our nyonyi. And she said, what does that mean? And I said, it means we have to maintain discipline, because that's what nyonyis do. It means we have to be the best versions of who we are. We have to help people. We have to reach out and be a blessing to everybody that we encounter. We have to be the person who can be relied upon by their teachers. That is what Wanyonis do. You see, there is power in a name. I wish that today it snaps in our spirits and in our heads that if we are called by the name of God, there are some things that go by being called by the name of God. There are some things that are naturally ours or us because we are just called by that name. Love, peace, is all that is ours because we are called by that name. Health, physical, mental, emotional, is ours because we are called by that name. That is what Christians are. That is what Wanyonyis are. That is who we are. Because of the work that Jesus did. Because of that body that was crushed on the Calvary. Because of the stripes that He was beat up. He was whipped with. Because of all that, today we can be able to confidently walk and stand and say, you know what? I am a Christian. You know, children of God, we are not just saying this because it's a fancy word to say it. I want you to stand up on your feet. If you call yourself a Christian, it is not just a name that refers to people that go to church on Sundays and Saturdays sometimes. It is not just a name that refers to people that are not Catholics. You know, when I came to America, so back in Africa, Catholics are Christians. So like when you call Christians, including the Catholics, will stand up because they know it's Christianity. Catholics is Christianity. I came to America and realized that when I go to evangelize and I go to minister to people and I tell them, Jesus loves you, and then they tell me, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Catholic. And I'm thinking, no, they're Christians because Jesus Christ died for them. The Catholics still profess Jesus Christ as a Christ who died on the cross for them. They are Christians. I wish they would understand. And most importantly, not just the Catholics, I wish that you, seated in these pews this morning, will realize that you are a Christian. Not just that name, not that just because you go to church, but because you bear a name of a father. And because you bear the name of the Father, you're a child, you're a son, you are a daughter, you have been adopted in the Beloved, you're a joint heir with Christ Himself. How I wish that we can all, that this will spark in our spirit even as we start this year. That you know what? I am a son. That's a lot of power. I am a son. I am a son. Listen to me, children of God. If today the son of Donald Trump were to land in Cheyenne, which they did one day and everybody took a picture with the aeroplane. Do you know what I'm saying? People thought it is important to take a photo with a plane. Do you know why? Because that plane belongs to the president. Because the daughter of the president had flown on that plane. We were like, pictures, with the plan, not even with the child. Listen, I wish you can understand that you have got a better, you have got bigger, that whoever you represent by being called a Christian is greater and bigger, and people would want to just associate, because I wish the world would know and say, I want to be a friend with Anne, a friend with Dan, a friend with you, whoever it is, because they call themselves Christians. How I wish that this world wouldn't just be. How I wish and pray that in the year 2019, you being a Christian will not be just a term that you use because you go to church, because you are raised up in church. That this will be a term that you use with confidence, with boldness, with authority, that you're saying, I am a Christian. When people come to me and they say, I'm not religious, and I tell them, I'm not religious, and they tell me, you are a pastor. And I say, exactly. And then they go, what do you mean? And I say, well, I'm not religious, I'm a Christian. Because I understand that this is a relationship. That is what sets Christianity outside of all the other religions, is because it's a relationship. That when I call myself Christian, I am directly associating myself with a person. Come on. Come on. How I pray that your spirit will just tap into this. So Father God, even as we stand here this morning, I know that I can never elaborate this better than your Holy Spirit can. How I pray that every one of us, as the year begins, that Lord Jesus Christ, we will discover Christianity. That we will discover who we are. That we will discover that it's not a title. That it's not a religion. That it's not what a certain group of people are called. That it's about me. And that that name associates me directly with the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that I belong. Maybe the enemy has been telling me you don't belong. I'm here to announce to you that if you have been accepted, just like you said, this will be the beginning for us, for me, for me individually. The Lord Jesus Christ, you're packaging this information in our hearts just for us. And that most importantly, Father, that we'll find the grace to unpack. That we'll find the grace to unpack. We love you this morning. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. See, a long time ago, I went to a conference. As I finished, I'll be finishing in 1 minute. I went to a conference, and then when I came back, I took the suitcase, of course, left it on the stairs for a few days. I don't know if you identify with this. I don't know if you've ever traveled, and you come back, and you're thinking, I'll unpack later, and then you just leave it there. And then another conference comes up, because, of course, this suitcase, I don't use it when I'm going to conferences. I don't go with it to work. And the day that I wanted to go to the next conference, I realized that the stuff that was in there is still there. Sometimes when we receive everything that God has, we forget to unpack it. The next time He wants to put other stuff to go to another conference with, He finds that the stuff that was there is still there. How I pray that as the Holy Spirit in our spirits this morning, that you will remember to sit down and unpack it. You see, cows, when they go out to chew, or they call them ruminants, they eat grass, they eat, and they'll eat the whole day, but they never really process the grass. Later on, they unpack. How I pray that in your spirit, that you will become a spiritual cow. Amen. That you go home and you unpack information in and you start chewing it. That's why at night cows chew. By the way, cows chew the whole night. It's called chewing cud. They chew at night. So you take the information and chew it over and over, and then put it in the right place, so that when the Lord is bringing another message or another ministry, that He finds the emptiness, that the suitcase is clean and ready to go. Father God, we are here. We are waiting on You. We pray that Your Spirit will just do His work in us today. Thank You for a new start. Thank You for reminding us to number our days. Most importantly, for reminding us that You have a plan. So glorify Yourself in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Close your eyes. Maybe you're here. We are talking about sonship. And you know in your heart that you have not yet received Jesus in your life. That you are a child, a neighbor's child. That you still pray and you still go to church. That you know in your spirit deep down that you're not a son yet. You're not a daughter yet. That maybe you have not been adopted. There is a very, very good opportunity here for you to be adopted in the beloved. Because Jesus says, behold, anybody that comes to Me, I will never send away. That's you and me. So if you're here, I want you to lift up your hand. Just gently. Let me pray with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you so much. So Father God, as we finish this service this morning, I believe that these are the people that You wanted to be here. As we finish, Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will just continue doing His work. We love You. We worship You. Thank You so much for calling all of us into sonship. For calling all of us into salvation. We love You, Father, and we worship You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.